part two. We have 1 hour to share before we call it a day. And to open up our afternoon sharing, I'd like to read a few positive statements. These are great ones to have. Every cell of my body expresses its original purity and integrity.
Every cell of my body expresses its original purity and integrity.
I like me. All is in divine order.
All is in divine order.
I am peace. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My body is the temple of the living spirit. I am whole and perfect. Every organ, action, and function of my body is whole and perfect.
I live in the now.
I am independently wealthy.
I am myself and I have fun.
I reveal my divinity in all I think, say, and do. I am surrounded by my pure white light of love. I live in my original purity and integrity. There is peace on earth, and it began with me. Let's repeat this one 3 or 4 times. No. I think my thought and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. I think my thought and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. I think my thought and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. I think my thought and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. I am unconditionally loving. Being unconditionally loving, all is peace. There was a boy, a very, very special boy. And I'm going to tell you about a girl. There was a girl, a silly, silly, silly girl. She let her troubles bother her, till it almost killed her. And then she met Dr. Byerly, who said, "You are so silly to die." And she said, "What can I do? The doctor said it's true." And I said, that's what I said. Okay. There was a girl, and her name is Irene. And she was a mature woman in her 70s. And she was, well, I seem to only know wealthy people. It must run in my lifestyle. She's a very wealthy lady. She owned thousands and thousands and thousands of acres in the Imperial Valley of Southern California, where they have seven crops a year. It's so hot with all the irrigation, pops this loop up and they come down, loop up and they drop down. They're fast. Now, she was worth a mint. Then she had an experience. And the experience was called C-A-N-C-E-R. Cancer. And it ate her up. And she was all shriveled up like a little ball in her bed. And her daughter was a member of my Religious Science Church down in the Imperial Valley. And she came in and she says, "Dr. Bartlett, I want you to go see my mom." She was not a member of our church. She was not a member of our church. I don't care. So I said, "Great, where is she?" "She's in the hospital." "Super, okay, I'll go see her." And she said, "She's dying of cancer." "You didn't have to tell me that." So I went to see her. And I said, "Knock, knock, knock, come in." She said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm your daughter's minister." She says, "Oh, I heard about you." And I said, "I hear you're dying of cancer." She says, "That's not a nice thing to say." And I said, "You said it. You said that. I merely repeat what you're saying." "Well, I am. The doctor says I'm dying of cancer. I only got a couple weeks left to go." And I said, "Well, do you want to die?" "Well, of course I don't want to die." "Well, then why are you dying?" "Well, the doctor said." "You mean the doctor tells you to die and you're going to go die? I mean, that's cool if you want to, because then the doctor is only looking at you and saying that on the downhill slide that you're going with your body and your mind and your attitude, you're going to die in a short time, and that's it." And so she said, but, and I said, "You don't have to die unless you want to. It's up to you to make the choice. Now, do you want to die or do you want to live?" "Said, well, I want to live." And I said, "Irene, have you got the intestinal fortitude to play a game with me?" And she says, "What is that? What game is that?" "Do you have the courage to decide to live? And do you have the courage to ask your doctor to come in and give you the privilege of a last request?" "Oh, of course." "And will you say to your doctor, 'Doctor, will you please tell my family and friends that this is a misdiagnosis, that I'm not going to die?'" And she says, "Well, what if I die? People think I'm crazy." "And what difference does it make to you? You know, nothing gained, nothing ventured, nothing gained, you know?" So she said, "Well, all right." So she called the doctor, and the doctor said, "Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo." And he said, "Okay, I'll say it." So they called in the family, the sons, the daughters, the grandchildren, all of them, everybody, and said, "It was a misdiagnosis. Irene is not going to die." Wow! Everybody shouted for joy and said, "Oh, fantastic! Oh, Grandma, Mama, oh boy, you're going to live! Ho, 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 ho!" You know, and they got the energy just going, something stupendous. I wasn't there for the show, but I came in later. And I said, "Well, Irene, I hear you're planning on getting out of that bed soon." "Oh, yes, 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 yes." Well, she started to eat. She started to put beef on her bones. She started to straighten out her funny-looking body. Within 6 months, she was back home on the tennis court enjoying herself again. She chose to live. She chose to live. She chose to live. She chose to be immortal. She chose to tell her white stem cells, which she didn't know were there, what she wanted done. And these stem cells listened to her. Stupid lady. Stupid lady to die, you know. Stupid lady to live. "I don't want to live in this terrible body." "Well, hey, you don't have to. You don't have to. You made a decision to die, and you were going to do it. You made a decision to live, and you're going to do it. In each of us are these beautiful stem cells. In each of us are these fabulous stem cells just waiting to be directed, just waiting to be told what to do, and being told what to do." Now, how many of you have children or are children? And your mommy and daddy, or you, had the kids come in. Mommy, can I do this? Mommy, can I do this? Would you stop bothering me? Would you stop? Get off my back. I've got other things to do. Get away. What do you think this is? And they say, well, you're my mommy. You're my daddy. I can ask a question. I have too many other things to do. Don't bother me. If you have the capacity to create children, you have the responsibility to take care of them. And to take care of them means that you give them 100% of your attention. These children are not as good as your stem cells, because they're their own stem cells. But these children are just like your stem cells. If you don't tell them what to do, if you don't give them your values, they're not going to have them. Now, do you have any values? Do you like? You said no? Yes? Okay. I misheard you. Okay. Do you have values? Do you believe in yourself? Do you always turn off your cell phone when you come to the church? Yes. What kind of people leave their cell phone on? There are people who want attention. You go into a restaurant and the fellow says, calling Mr. Jones, telephone call from Mr. Jones. He's just wanting attention. He goes to the phone, he picks it up, and his wife says, well, did I call at the right time? Yes, thank you, dear, bye. You know, everybody in the restaurant knows that this is Dr. Jones or Mr. Jones. Or is the physicist Mr. Jones here? Or, you know, they give him titles and they get everybody in the restaurant to know. They're looking for credit. You do too. You go around, you want people to recognize who you are. What happened to Jesus? He was a great teacher. He was a great preacher. He was a great man with all of his spiritual qualities. And they didn't know who to kill. They didn't know which one to find, which one to take and do away with. Isn't that interesting? He had so much humility. Can we follow suit on that a little bit? Have a lot of humility ourselves? Now, humility doesn't mean that you lie. Humility doesn't mean that you tell the world that you're sick. That's a lie. That's an illusion. And of course, to say that I'm well, that's an illusion too. And you don't tell the world you're alive or you're healthy. You don't tell the world that you're sick. You don't tell the world that anything. You look at it, of course, and the world knows. But the thing is, what do you do? You do it in your heart. Now, Jane Eyre, Jane Austen, a few of these other writers, they went up into their ghetto, into the attic to write quietly. They had stories to tell, and they had things to do. And they didn't want anyone to know what they were doing, because they didn't want anyone to bother them or anyone to distract them from what they're doing. And then when they had done whatever they were doing, then they come downstairs and be with the family. Family never knew what they were doing. Never knew. Didn't know if they were meditating or what. So they accomplished their book. Now I would like each one of you to take this responsibility upon yourself this day forward. I would like each one of you to write the greatest book ever written. And this is called The Bible of Yourself. I would like you to write your own Bible. Now, I would like to have you write your Bible from your own personal integrity. What is your own personal integrity? Is your own personal integrity, I like me, I'm divine order? Is your own personal integrity all of these lovely statements on here? Is that your own personal integrity? Do you say, I like me? Do you say, all is in divine order? Do you say, I am peace? I have people coming to my attention often, and oftentimes coming to the ranch and to the monastery to work on it. And I give them these three statements, because these three statements are very powerful. They come to the monastery because they have an illness that they haven't been able to work with. Here are the three words, three phrases that I give them.
Now, can you all read those all right?
Are those clear enough? All right, we'll say what they are. We'll start with the first one there. I like me. If you do not like yourself, no sense going any further. If you don't like yourself, you're going to be on top of yourself and against yourself, and kicking yourself around the block, telling yourself that you're not good. Are you a genius?
Yes!
Do you like yourself?
Yes!
Are you handsome and beautiful?
Yes!
Do all men and women just look at you and say, I wish I had their charisma?
Yes!
Are you the most dynamic, joyful, wonderful person in the universe?
Yes!
Is your name Irene? Interesting. Irene says, I guess I have to die. The doctor says I have to die. And what do you say? I live. I live. When you like yourself, you only say positive things about yourself. All right, now, I am divine order. I am divine order. In other words, everything about my body, my mind, my spirit, my soul, my being, everything about my ideas are divine order. And one young lady was telling me, I got some tensions, I got some irritations, I got some frustrations, and it's tough. All you have to do is say, I am peace. And when you say, I am peace, all the frustrations, tensions, all the irritations go away. You know, it doesn't really matter. One lady was standing at the street, you know, and she was watching the children play, and all of a sudden her little daughter darted out into the street, right in front of the cars. And at first she was going to scream, ah! And then she said, I am a metaphysician. All is in divine order. I surround my daughter with my pure white light of love. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Everything is beautiful. Everything is fantastic. And she calmly walked over to the street. The cars, meanwhile, had stopped. And she picked up her little daughter and said, come, sweetheart. You're playing where the adults play. You're supposed to play where the children play. Now, come now. Let the adults' playground alone. Don't give them a hard time. They were so frightened that they were going to hit you because they didn't expect you out there. That's where the adults play. And the little girl came in and didn't think a thing about it, merely realized that's where the adults play. Another woman, she saw her child running out in the street, and she was so scared, she ran out there screaming and grabbed the girl and spanked her and spanked her and spanked her and hugged her and hugged her because she loved her and spanked her because she was irritated and hugged her and loved her and spanked her and loved her. And 20 years later, the little girl was saying to somebody else, and her mother overheard it, she says, my mother never loved me. She always just wanted to spank me. She wanted to, and she spanked so hard, you know, I thought I was going to die. And the mother overheard this, and she says, what's this all about here? When did I ever spank you? Well, that's a long time ago. There's only one time in your life I ever spanked you. And that's when you ran in the street and almost got run over by a car, and I was so frustrated and I was so irritated. I spanked you and I loved you and I spanked you. Yeah, but you spanked me. Well, sweetheart, forgive me. I lost my head. I didn't realize what I should have done. I should have been more calm. I should have been more peaceful. All is in divine order, you know. But the little girl, all the years of her life to that point, lived with the thought that her mother hated her because she got a spanking at that crucial moment. You see, we have to be cool. We have to keep our cool. I got on the elevator in the hotel the other night, and there's a young man there in a black outfit and a tannish cap, and he looks over at me and says, cool, Dad, cool. And I said, yeah, sure is. And he said, how's everything going? I said, cool. You know, everything going just as cool as can be. He says, you know, you're a cool guy. And I said, you're a cool guy too. Thank you. You know, and we went our way. And I guess that's the language that we're using, but that's the type of thing. I went to visit a And when I was in the University of Chicago in the Theological Seminary, we had to go visit the different schools, different churches and different places around. So we went down into the ghetto part of Chicago, and we were all dressed up in our Sunday best, a bunch of us kids, about 18 years old, and we walked in there, and some of the young guys were coming along swinging their switchblade knives and trying to scare us. And they did scare the other guys. But I had been in the Navy, and I was unflappable. And so I walked in there, and they said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "We're here to visit a church. We are seminarians and so forth." And "What church are you going to?" "And we're going to this church." "Oh, what do you want to do there?" "Well, we're going to sit and listen." "You invited?" "Yes. The lady preacher invited us." "Well, that's my mom. I'll show you where it is." You see, who could have expected that that would be the way it would work out? And you don't want to let life frighten you. Because if you let life frighten you, then you're of no good. You know what a dog does? A dog bites people who are afraid. Not people who are not afraid. If you walk in there just doing your thing and you're really not afraid, you're really not afraid. If you're afraid, that dog smells that on you. And he gets after you. One time I was walking along near our property. We have several thousands of acres of the BLM government land. And it's anybody's land to go walking on. And I was walking out there about 2:30 in the morning after I had finished my projects. And as I was walking along, I heard a woman hollering, "Susie," or whatever, "come on in now, time to come in." And I didn't know who Susie was, but anyhow, I thought it was Susie. So I walked along, and then pretty soon I heard crashing through the brush. It was dark, not even moon. And I thought to myself, this is interesting. What is this creature? And pretty soon it came closer, and I could see it was, up to about so high. It was pretty good size. Let's see over here. Pretty good sized dog. And so I realized that it was somebody I didn't know. So I got down on my squat system, sitting on my butt, and I said, "Well, Susie, is that you? What are you doing out here? Your mommy called you and told you to come home." Being real loving, And here comes this big Doberman pincher, with his big old Doberman face and, and he comes over and tries to lick me to death, And I said, "You better go home now. You better go home now. Your mom's waiting for you." He didn't. He followed me home. And he sat on my back porch, and it was an hour or so later, and then I went out to see if he was gone, because my dogs I kept inside while he was there, and he was still there. And I said, "You better go home. Your mom's worried about you. And this is not a nice thing to do." And so later he was gone. But I could have been frightened. Because, that coming out of the bushes in the black of night and crashing along knowing what he's doing and I didn't. And if you allow yourself to be frightened at any time, you're of no value. You're of no value. I've had the privilege of working with a lot of people who have so-called illnesses. And they complain about their illnesses, and they complain about how things are going and how things are happening in their life and what's going on wrong with them. And I say to them, "Hey, change your mind. Change your attitude. Get the right story going for yourself. Get the right story going for yourself." May Rowland, the head of the Silent Healing Ministry in Unity School of Christianity down in Kansas City, she was in her home, and as she was in her home, along came a tornado, a very powerful tornado, and it was coming right up the street toward her home, and whipping away and knocking things down. And she stood inside the house, in front of her glass window, and she says, "Peace. Gone. Peace. Peace. Peace." And she opened up her eyes, and the storm had gone on either side of her. She was the master. She was peace. We had a lady in someplace in Florida, and she's always calling us on the phone, and she calls about the hurricanes. She loves hurricanes, otherwise she'd move, you know. But she loves hurricanes. And she called and she says, the hurricane's heading right toward us. It's going to come right toward us. And I said, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, but it's so big, it's going to, and will surround your house with your pure white light of love, and your house will be untouched. Surround your house with your pure white light of love, and your house will be untouched. And so she did. She said, well, later, she said, it knocked the sign off my mailbox. And I said, you poor dear. You didn't surround your house completely with your pure white light of love. Now, she did it another time. And then she said, okay, now, my other friend moved up into South Carolina and right at the edge of Florida, and they're having a hurricane too. Would you pray for her? Sure. So we treated for her, and we saw her surrounded by our pure white light of love, and all was in divine order. And the hurricane bypassed her. She said, well, that's not nice of the hurricane to be in other places. I said, now look, don't bother yourself with these things. You just say that the hurricanes are thought attitudes in the sky having fun, and tell them to play on high and do their thing up in the sky on high and not have anything to do with the earth. Let the earth do its own game and they do their game. And then she did that. And then the report came from the weather department that the storm blew itself out at sea at a higher level. Now, is that something that I spoke my word for and accomplished?
Yes!
Yes.
Thank you. If I don't believe in myself, I shouldn't do it. Now, why can I believe in myself? My stem cells flow through my being and say, Herb, you're fantastic. Herb, you're wonderful. If I ever do anything that is silly, I have to just say, I am the pure white light of love. All is in divine order. The white stem cells are doing their perfect job for me. They're flushing over my total being and just blessing me and fulfilling me and uplifting me and guiding me to do everything. Now, I told you about the stem cells that were forced into the little child's head by the Chinese surgeons, and they did a little bit, but they didn't do it right. Why is it that we are so much more powerful with our stem cells ourselves as we use it with gentleness and with love? If I say to anybody, I have a staff of people at the campus at the ranch, and they're people, and they are disturbed about each other once in a while and disturbed what each other is doing once in a while. And so I call them in my office, and I say, okay, now what seems to be the bother? Well, she's not doing this, and she's not doing that, and she's not doing the other thing, and I say, hey, who are you? God. All right, if you're God, why are you concerned with somebody else? Why are you concerned with what anybody else in the world is doing? If you will concern yourself with yourself and say, all is in divine order, I like me, all is in divine order, I am peace. If you will just concern yourself with that, then all of those things will go away. Well, now, why will they go away? They will go away because you don't give them any attention. If you give attention to trouble, shoom, it's yours. If you give attention to your wholeness and to your perfection, then these are the stem cells coming into play, being differentiated by your attitude, by your word, by your thought. Now you say, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. I told you we have these people coming to campus and having problems, and I give them this statement. And I say, I like me, I'm divine order and peace. Now walk around the campus grounds for 24 hours, you know, or as long as you can, and then go to bed. while you're sleeping, I like me, I'm divine order of peace, I like me, I'm divine order of peace. They wake up saying, I like me, I'm divine order of peace. They go to the toilet saying, I like me, I'm divine order of peace. They shave or brush their teeth or do whatever. Say, I like me, I'm divine order of peace. I like me, I'm divine order of peace. And then you know what they do? One lady, her brother was a doctor in Europe, and she had a very serious case of cancer. And she was, you know, terminal. And so she came to campus, and we said, I like me, I'm divine order of peace, again and again and again and again and again. I don't watch them do it. If you don't want to play the game, forget it. Don't bother me. It's the principle that works. If you don't want to practice the piano, hey, you don't need to practice the piano to be a great pianist. You don't. I am a great pianist. I am a great pianist. Believe it. Know it. Be it. Do it. And then you can. Where did Mozart get the idea, huh? Did he practice for years and years and years to do the things he did? You know, Beethoven? Where did he get the idea of how to do this? Where did he get the ideas? Where did Michelangelo get the idea to do all the work he did? Well, you say, he went to school, he went to the Medicini, they paid for his program and training. No. He was a great artist before he went there. The schooling merely drew it out of him and helped him reveal it. It helped him reveal it. He gained confidence in himself. You know how many children are beautiful artists and they draw pictures and they paint, and their parents said, what are you scratching pictures for all the time? What are you doing these crazy things for all the time? And they discourage them. And so the children do it on their own. We should encourage anybody who is following their heart. We should encourage anyone who's listening to the divine within them and living up to it. These people who came to campus, they went away. Now, this is a little secret I'm going to tell you. It's a very difficult secret. If you do as I ask you to do, I know, not I wish, but I know, you will experience a very wonderful experience. Spiritual healing. Spiritual healing is one of the most rotten type of healings you could ever have in your life. Because with spiritual healing, you can never pull up your pants and say, see my scar? There's no scar. With spiritual healing, there's no scar. With spiritual healing, you never were sick. They have no record of it in the hospitals. Your family doesn't know anything about it. You don't know anything about it, number one. And the world you live in doesn't know you ever were sick. Now, spiritual healing is terrible because people like to go around saying, I had cancer and now I'm whole. You know, I had this problem and now I'm healed. But you see, the moment you have your spiritual healing, your past in that area is completely, you're on a parallel dimension. You're on a parallel dimension of life where everything is exactly the same except anything concerning that illness that you had. Now that's gone. That's gone. And that is gone when you do this here.
Never doubt myself.
When, Huh?
Say again. Return to your original purity and integrity.
Return to your original purity and integrity. Thank you. Return to your original purity and integrity. Return to your original purity and integrity. Return to your original purity and integrity. Your stem cells, your undifferentiated stem cells that don't know what to do yet, are your original purity and integrity. And when your stem cells go to work, they wipe the slate clean of anything unlike your original purity and integrity. When your stem cells go to work, they wipe the slate clean, your mind, the world, everything of anything like that. Now, if you really play this game and you say, I am a spiritually illumined being, I am a spiritually illumined being, then you'll have a clean slate, your original purity and integrity, but you will also levitate, teleport, and do all of these other fun things that we read about or hear about or think about. Because whether you know it or not, all of these sort of mystical, magical things that we think only the saints can do and stuff like that, we do it. There was one Catholic priest who was quite good and very much meditative, and he lived in a monastery. And for his middle years, not his late years, but his middle years, his associates, the other monks in the monastery, were having difficulty with him because he kept floating. And he kept floating. They had to pull him down from the ceiling all the time. They couldn't let him outside because he'd float away. And so they had to put a rope around him and tie him down. Now, they never gave him a canonization by the Catholic Church for doing this most interesting thing, but how and why could he do it? If anybody can do it, any exception to the rule destroys the rule, doesn't it? How did he defy gravity? He didn't defy gravity. He just was his own gravity. We can have devices here on Earth which are contrary to gravity. You can go in these anti-gravity chambers and have experiences that the spacemen have in outer space. How can you do that here on Earth? Have this anti-gravity situation? How can you do that? And Einstein, I love Einstein's thinking. Einstein would come up with these bright and beautiful things from an early age on, and then other scientists would say, that's not so. And he'd say, doesn't bother me. I believe it. You go prove it's not true. If you prove it's not true, then I'll believe it's not true. Otherwise, I believe it's true. So the other scientists would go on, and they couldn't prove it wasn't true. One time they did prove his theory of relativity wasn't true. And so they said that to him. And he said, okay, no problem. And a couple of years later, they found out that that scientist was incorrect, that the theory of relativity indeed is very real and very, very true. But, you see, Einstein did not argue with anything. However the divine expressed through him, he lived it. Now, he wasn't the greatest human being that lived. He forgot to put his pants on sometimes and forgot to do other silly things, but that wasn't important to him. What was important to him? What was important to him was to think thoughts and have the solution to the various concepts that came into his mind be revealed to him. Be revealed out of him. And he'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd write down the solution on a piece of paper, go back to sleep, wake up in the morning and look at it and say, I wonder what that's all about. I wonder what that's all about. And then as the day or week would go on, he wouldn't throw it away. As the day or week would go on, all of a sudden it had meaning, and he said, oh, yeah, that's that theory. That's that great. And remember the Big Bang? The Big Bang, that's a theory. And scientists believe it. Now, who are scientists? Scientists are people who have knowledge and who study it. But does that mean that they know everything? No. Now, are you ready to really put this cause in motion? Are you ready to be the stem cell healers for yourself first, of course. Now, what happens when you are a stem cell healer for yourself? That means that you can only think, well, yeah.
You can only think this year.
You can only think, be good. You can only think what you believe is good. You see, what you believe is good and what others believe is good may not be the same thing, but you walk good. You do everything good, everything harmoniously, everything peacefully. I get all, and then I say to myself, I don't know what I'm all shook up about, but I say, I don't know what I was mad about. I don't know what I was all upset about. It's gone. I'm relaxed. I'm relaxed. I'm at peace. What do they say when you're angry? Count to 10 and then count to 10 again. But when you count to 10, you're getting yourself in balance. You're aiming at your original purity and integrity. And you're right, John, we got it sideways so you can't see it. You're living in your original purity and integrity, and it's really quite wonderful and quite good. You over there, you guys, keep you in this. Ah, good stuff. So, be sure to keep good notes and practice these things, because they are what make, that's what makes the world go around for you. That's what makes you who you are. Now, I think you can look at your minister here, Ms. Lundum, and you see what she has done. And what happens? What happens when you see what she has done? You have seen a person who said, I am going against all convention. I'm going against all experiences that I know about. I'm going against all things. And then she stops and she says, I am not a fool. I'm not going against anything. And she says, I am going for being a minister. I am going for having this lovely church. I am going for, and people come with all sorts of obstacles to say that this is difficult and that's difficult and this can't be done and that can't be done. And she says, that's not in my world. You may talk about things that are difficult in your world, but that's not in my world. And the reason it's not in my world, I don't empower it. I don't allow things like that to happen in my world. I don't allow it. It won't work, it won't work, it won't work. I don't know why you're shouting. I guess you have to shout to make yourself believe it. But I know that it'll work, so I'm not even concerned about your shouting. I'm not even concerned about anything about you. I know who and what I am. And I know that everything is in divine order. I know it, I know it, I know it. And don't let anybody shake your boat. Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. And isn't that right? But of course, nowadays, it's every time it rains dollar bills from heaven or something like that. Something a little more consequential. But this is wonderful. This is wonderful. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Always we think of happy things. Always we think of beautiful things. Always we put the causes in motion. Always we say it is true, and we say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. You don't need to say, oh, Heavenly Father, grace us with your presence this day, and bless this food that it may nourish our bodies, and strengthen us in the way of thy will, and of following the teachings of thy Son. Oh God, let Jesus Christ be known to us today. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And Jesus is sitting there saying, I'm hungry, let's eat. You know? And we do these silly, silly things, and we do it for ourselves because we don't believe. Now, when we bless our food, what are we doing? We are blessing ourselves for giving ourselves food. We're not blessing something outside of us for giving ourselves food. We're blessing ourselves. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. I could say my love. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. In a restaurant, we oftentimes say that as our group up in the mountain, and quietly to ourselves, and other mothers are saying, what did you say? What did you say? That sounds like a nice blessing. Oh my gosh. And the kids say, yeah, I like that one. I like that one. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Now you eat. You eat that food that's on your plate. That's good for you. You must eat that food that's on your plate. And if you don't clean your plate, the Biafrans in South Africa are going to be going starving because you're not eating the food on your plate. Yeah, that's what we've been told. And I guess it's the same everywhere. But the thing is, when we teach all is love, all is peace, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. On campus, I have a plate that's passed around. After everyone takes the food they want, or gets the food they are receiving, if there's any food that they don't want to eat, they shove it off the plate before they start eating. And they shove it off on this plate that goes around. And then that goes in the middle, and if anybody wants it, they can have it. But we don't have leftovers on anybody's plate. Whatever you keep, that you eat. Now if you want to get rid of all of it, that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not going to starve. But we talked about this spiritual healing thing. If any of you would like to have a spiritual healing, it is a wise thing for you to go and make peace with your brother, go and make peace with your world, write your will and your last testament and so forth, because you won't be known anymore. You will be like an amnesiac. You will be a completely different person. You will be a person who no longer thinks that you are sick. You'll be a person who no longer thinks that you have a problem. You'll be a person who no longer thinks that there's anything wrong with the world. You will think that there's peace on earth, and it began with you. I was down in Nigeria, and I was speaking to a group there. I had been in about 7 or 8 different churches and different groups and so forth. And they brought me to this one hotel. And I had been followed by this Muslim man with his dreadlocks and so forth. And he was very, very antagonistic toward me. And he followed me for several years. But he followed me every time I went down there. And this time, the room was just utterly packed. A room like this, but just really packed. I couldn't even sit down. We had to give our chairs up so that people could sit around us. And this guy made sure he got next to me. And he stood up and he says, may I say something? And he said, sure. He said, I want to tell about my philosophy. And I said, well, I paid for this hall, and I'm telling about my philosophy. You want to tell about your philosophy? You pay for the hall and get your own crowd. This is my group of people. He says, and you know, I could see the fire coming out of his eyes, and I could see, you know, and he's just ready to take me and eat me up, you know, in a negative way. And so I said to him, I said, sir, what is your faith? Are you Muslim? Yes. Who is the author of your textbook, you know, of your Bible? Muhammad. And what did Muhammad teach about other people, about people who were not following your faith? He taught, leave them alone. He taught, stay with our own. He taught everything that Jesus taught. You read the works of Muhammad and you read the works of the Bible, the New Testament, they're the same thing. The same thing. Just a slight variation here. And I said, you know, Muhammad was an extremely brilliant, beautifully guided, spiritually illumined man. But his followers forgot to follow what he taught. Many of the Christian followers forget to follow what the Bible, the Christian Bible teaches too. Love your neighbor and forgive 7 times 3 million times, isn't it? 7 times 70? But it's a lot. So I spoke to him and said that. And when I said that to him, he looked at me and he says, you're right. You know? And before, every time he stood up, he had to put his hat on because that represented something. And so this time, he stood up and took his hat off. And he said, Dr. Barley, you have made me respect you. I take my hat off to you. You know? And I said, well, thank you, sir. And I spoke to the group who didn't hear it all. And I said, we have just seen an act of humility that is utterly amazing today. And then this fellow followed me more. But he stood next to me because he wanted to be in the picture with me and he wanted to be known with me. He wanted me to be his carte blanche to go where he wanted to go. Now, we have to be very careful. I didn't knock him. We never have a reason to knock another person's faith, another person's understanding. We never have a reason to tell another person their religion is right or wrong or indifferent or whatever. All we have to do is to live our own philosophy. Now, when you, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace, you will be the most humble, the most marvelous person on the face of the earth. Little children will run up to you and grab your leg and hug you, and you'll say, what did I do? You know? I walked through the streets of Nigeria, I walked through the streets of Lugano in Switzerland and London, England, and speaking at these various hospitals, and the patients come up to me and say things to me, and they say, you are a very wonderful man, I could just feel it. Can you help me? And I said, yes, I can help you by telling you, like yourself, and you have it all done. And they said, but that's so simple. No, it's not so simple. When you like yourself, then you have naught. You do not have aught against another. You do not have one single thought about anybody else. You don't tell certain nations that they're running their nation badly. The Iraqis and the Iranians and so on, the people love their country. They love their Hussein and they love their leaders, as negative as we may find them to be. They love them. They love Hitler. They love Mussolini. They love, who else? Stalin. And he killed them all by the millions. But the people loved them. And we, who are we to ever say that they shouldn't love? They love wrongly, perhaps. We think our children choose the wrong marriage partner sometimes, but oftentimes it's the most wonderful marriage that ever could be, because our children have learned modesty, humility, love, peace, harmony, joy. Yes, it is wonderful. My son was married, and his first marriage didn't function the way he wanted it to. And so about 8-10 years later, he was on the internet, and he was communicating on his airplanes on the internet, and this one woman contacted him and wrote to him. And so they communicated back and forth for 2 years, and every time he'd go to Florida, he'd visit her. And then he said to her when he was in Florida, he said, well, Leslie, how about coming and living with me in California? She said, sure, one condition. He said, what's that? Then we get married. He said, no, sure, why not? No, I'm telling it to you, that's so casual. They got married. 6 weeks after they got married, I was talking to him on the phone. I said, Mark, how is your marriage? Dad, I waited too long. If I had only known it was going to be so wonderful the second time around, I would have gotten married sooner. Oh, she is wonderful. And then a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, each time the same response. Dad, it gets better every day. She is the most fabulous woman I have ever known. Well, of course, he's a fabulous man. But the thing is, you would have thought perhaps it wouldn't work. But it worked beautifully. Because he loves himself. She loves herself. She's doing her things, he's doing his thing, and together they're enjoying each other. Not possession, not ownership, not feeling that they have to tell each other how to live and what to do, but just being themselves and having fun. Now, I haven't given you too much opportunity to ask any questions, and we have exactly about 8 minutes before the professor over here wants us to close the door. And now, we'll be back tomorrow, but now, if you have not thought of your questions today and you think of them, write them down on a sheet of paper so that you'll have them clearly thought out. And then as we get together again, right? We are going to, well, yeah, we'll have a church service tomorrow morning, and then in the afternoon we're having something in meditation, right? Well, nothing in the afternoon? Okay, well, then we'll just drag on the church service for a couple hours, and you can ask, you can ask some questions, whatever. But if any of you have any question now that comes to your mind, I'd be glad to feel it with you. Yes?
Is that right there?
The mic's right there.
David says, well, then, what are your recommendations for 10 seconds of it?
What are my
recommendations? Would you recommend for
my recommendations?
Yes.
Well, I recommend I recommend that if you think you're an intellectual, stay away from them. If you think that you're emotional, stay away from them. If you think that you are anything, stay away from them. The more you read about stem cells, the more you're going to be inclined to do like this one scientist does, and they're trying to force it and include it. You don't need to do that. We go the metaphysician's path, which is recognizing that the stem cells are in our brain, flushing through our body. Now, their article here also said that they have found stem cells in every area of the body. And one lady here was telling me how in an organization she knows about that they have certain volcanic ash which encourages the utilization of stem cells in the body. Well, that's all good. But here, if you in your mind are clear and pure and say, okay, stem cells, can you say that? I am the commander. Today, our subject is, I like me. Stem cells, march around my body and say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. Go through every organ, action, function. Say, I like me, 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 I like me. Okay. Day two, stem cells, let's march around my body and say, I am divine order, I am divine order. Then I am peace. And then, my body is whole and perfect. Now, you're driving along in your car, and you're busy driving, and so you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. But enunciate, you know, speak articulately, because your stem cells want to understand that they're listening to your call.
I am whole and perfect, 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 I am whole and perfect.
Speak, enunciate, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Get that into your body, your mind, your thought, and those stem cells are going to act upon that, and then you will have this unfortunate situation of spiritual healing where you'll never remember you had the problem. Nobody else will remember you had the problem. You'll never be able to say, I had this and I'm healed now. You know, we like to do that. Yeah. And women, why do women ever like to tell about a miscarriage? How utterly stupid. It's okay, nothing wrong with a miscarriage, but it's just a waste of energy because people have ideas about that. They think, oh, that's so terrible, that's too bad. And you don't want anyone feeling sorry for you. You say, I'm whole and perfect. Oh, you look whole and perfect too. I feel great. Oh, yes, you do look great. I am happy. Oh, you are happy. Get the whole world thinking that you're happy, feeling that you're happy, feeling that you're great, feeling that you're whole and perfect. Get everyone united to feel about this. And when everyone is united in that feeling about it, then they can think about it, but you don't have to tell them. Because then they're thinking about that for themselves and for everyone else. And it's wonderful. It is really wonderful. Now, are you ready to experience that? if you're ready to experience it, then pay attention to these stem cells or your body stem cell. You can read outwardly all you want. All you want. But you see, anytime they bring in anything that is not harmonious with your body, like certain blood and limbs and operations that they give you, a new heart and stuff like that, they have to make sure that heart is compatible with yours. Well, your stem cells are right perfect right now. Your stem cells are like the magician's magic wand. And you hold the wand. And you say, all right, stem cells, perfect eyes, perfect ears, perfect mouth, perfect everything. Stem cells, here we go. Da 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 da. I am perfect, I am whole and free now all the time. I am perfect, I am whole and free now all the time. I am perfect, I am perfect. I am perfect, I am perfect. I am perfect, whole and free now all the time, all the time, all the time. And I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And I only talk about what I believe and what I know and what I experience. And sometimes I use the same illustrations over and over again. Because, like my associate said, you know, Herb, I finally got the idea of what that illustration meant. Now, that's 30 years that she's been with me. But, hey, that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes I even put new flavors around old illustrations. But they're great. And they're fun. Yes, Reverend John. Ask one who knows one. Yeah. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We are fantastic. We are glorious. We are perfect. Now, I have exactly enough time to do a short meditation for you. Let's close our eyes and sit quietly in our seat, setting our hands in our lap quietly. And let's recognize that I am God, God I am. I am love, love I am. I am peace, peace I am. God, yeah. How can I let my stem cells do more work in my body? Well, get your bloated nothingness out of the way, Herb, and the stem cells can go right to work. But what do you mean, bloated nothingness out of the way, God? Well, your bloated nothingness is every time you try to say that it ain't so. When you tell the stem cells what they're going to do, they're going to heal you, they're going to clean up the works. You say, I am whole and perfect now. There's nothing to be done. So you don't tell the stem cells there's something to be done. The stem cells are merely going in there and sort of refreshing everything. Just bringing it back into this pure, wonderful state of purity and goodness. Oh, God, that's cool. Yeah, Herb, sure. Thanks a lot. Okay, God talks to me, and I talk to God. And if I am God, then God talks just like me, and I talk just like God, and I talk just like me, and God talks just like me. And we talk just like each other, and it is lots of fun. So, this day, go and enjoy yourself and say, I like me, 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 I love you, I love you, goodbye, goodbye, have a good day. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. The only thing holy about meditation is the people who thinks it is holy. Meditation is to think about something, and you do that all the time. And you might as well be thinking about things that are beneficial to you. Okay, if there were more questions, please have them ready for tomorrow or whatever, give them to me, and we'll get them answered for you. All right? Thank you very much. Joy to be with you. Yes.
Friends, it is my pleasure to just open my heart with gratitude for this experience today. I'd like firstly to thank Dr. Elmer for the consciousness that made this experience happen. It really was awesome to just move to a different level of understanding what stem cells are and how we can work them through consciousness. We had some awesome food, and that soup was what we call in Jamaica gumptious, right? So just to thank the culinary team who made that happen. Reverend John, for your awesome coordination and presence, knitting everything together, coming out of Dr. Elmer's ideas and you know, just making this thing happen in a most extraordinary way. To everyone else who contributed to making today a reality, thank you all very much. And to each and every one of you who participated, who brought yourselves here, who were open and receptive to hearing this message, a very hearty thank you to you, and especially to Dr. Herb. A warm, funny, present, natural, articulate, just really awesome teddy bear of our consciousness. Fantastic dancer, you should have seen him and Dr. Elmer last night. I really wish I had the camera. But just to thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, for certainly for allowing me to start to think differently about how I speak to myself, to declare very strongly and confidently that I like me, and that I am divine order, and that I am peace. Can we just say that together as we close? I like me. I am divine order. I am peace. And so it is. And just let me invite you to just go with peace, go with divine order, go with the presence and power of God. As we gratefully give thanks for this experience today, we know that the presence of God expresses through us, in us, as us, enabling us to tap into those magnificent stem cells and direct them to our wholeness and completion. We say thank you, God, and so it is. Love you and bless you. And walk good.